I am amazed by you. That song is so capturing in each one of our hearts that God just so loves us. I mean, you know your flaws, right? You know your neighbor's flaws more than yours, right? Because you want to look at the speck in his eye and not look at the plank in yours. But listen, wow. God loves us. And you know what's so great about the Lord? He wants us to come just as we are, right? You've heard that said, and it's true. Because you can't make yourself right before God and then enter into His presence. He's the one who makes you right. He calls you to come to Him. And when we do, He doesn't leave us the same. Like, there's a change and there's a transformation that begins to happen to us as we each day surrender to Him, pick up our cross and follow Him. That means die to myself today and live for the Lord. And I'm amazed that even when I fail or fall, He doesn't kick me out of the family, right? I'm a child of God, period. No one can snatch me out of His hands. And that's so exciting for each one of us because each one of us are imperfect. There's not a single person perfect that has ever lived except Jesus when He came and lived in the flesh. And so all of us need that grace and mercy of the Lord. But here's what else we need to do. We need to give others that love as well. Why do you think He says, love others as I have loved you? Forgive others as I have forgiven you. And He gives us, listen, that example of how we are to love other people. How do we love other people? As He has loved us. How has He loved us? Unconditional. What? You're not serious, Pastor. No. He's serious. And listen, unconditional love cannot happen apart from the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. As we walk with the Lord, what does that mean to walk with the Lord? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about walking in truth, but to walk in the light means that your doctrine, your belief, is parallel with your actions, what you do. And so when you profess to be a child of the Lord, Christian, Christ-like, your actions should look Christ-like. Wow. Convicting today, right? For all of us. And we can't do it apart from walking with the Lord. Surrendered anew each and every day. Lord, I want to love you, and I want to love others as you have loved me. So then what happens next is there's a challenge that happens in our heart or in our life. Are you really going to love others? Okay, here you go. Here's someone that's difficult to love. Now love them unconditional. Wow. I didn't ask for that test, did I? I love what Tony Evans says. He says, I'm a great basketball player as long as there's nobody else on the court. As soon as someone else gets in the game, everything changes, right? Why? Go, you got to prove yourself. Are you a good basketball player? Here's a chance. Are you a Christian of Christ? Do you go to the store and they don't charge you for something and you don't say nothing? Really? I hope you do. Why? Because you're different. You're not of this world. You live in this world, but you are a child of the Lord. Your residency is in the heavenly places right now. You're in a temporary place here on earth. So you're representing the King. You're an ambassador of the King. So you speak on His behalf. You act on His behalf. And those challenges come. Simple things like the cashier not charging you something or someone cutting in line. How dare they, right? That old man wants to get up and put people in their place, right? But that's our test. That's our challenge. Can I overlook it? Hey, you know what? Maybe they're in a rush. Go ahead. No problem. That's our test. Sometimes we pass and sometimes we fail. And when we pass, we rejoice. And when we fail, we get up and we rejoice in the Lord that He'll get us through it the next time, right? What caused us to fail? Let's evaluate that. Hey, what happened in my heart? Did I wake up praising the Lord today? Did I wake up complaining? Because we all can do that. We can all do both, right? We can complain or we can rejoice. It's up to you. Which one are you going to do? You could have a miserable day today or you could have an awesome day and joy in your heart. No matter what's happening around you, it's up to you. So let me ask you this. If everybody's in, everyone in the church is use you as an example, as a Christian to follow, what would you say?
Wow.
That's something heavy to carry, right? If everybody in the church is going to look at my life and I'm the example of who they should be,
wow. We're in trouble, right?
But let me tell you this. Everybody in the church is not looking at you as an example to follow, but somebody is. God has sent someone in your life for you to be an example to. God has brought you in contact with someone who perhaps never had a father, doesn't know how to be a good husband, or doesn't know how to be gentle and kind, or has bad communication skills. You're going to be an example to them. You're going to be the example of patience and love to that person. Wow. It changes everything when we think about that. And when we wake up in the morning and say, the Lord is with me, because He is, if you're a believer, then I can then accomplish the things that God has for me to do. I can be an example. Now, we're not perfect, so don't ever present yourself as being perfect. But listen, if you fail, confess it. Ask forgiveness, get up, and keep walking. I've given you the illustration before of in police training where we go into the shoot house. And there's, some of you haven't heard this, but there's the instructor walks above us in a catwalk, and we get a scenario to go in and clear the house. And so we show up and they say, well, there's a lady held hostage by a man with a gun in the back room. Okay, handle the situation. So as soon as you open up the door, all the rookies get shot as soon as the door opens with a pellet. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. It leaves bruises. And so what happens is the door opens, boom, you get shot. And the new guys stop. And the instructor up there says, what are you doing? Why'd you stop? And they would say, but I got shot. He says, but you're not dead. Keep moving. Wow. Sometimes someone says, you know, I'm not into that Jesus stuff. That's good for you. And we stop. That's it. That's our whole career in evangelism. One person. Wait a minute. You just planted a seed. When the sower plants a seed, does he stand there and watch it grow? No. He plants it and he keeps planting. And he's a planter, right? And a water will come along and will start to water it. You may be both. I'm not saying you're excluded from either one. But the one who waters is the one who watches it grow, right? And that could be the pastor. Who knows? Could be you. But people are looking at our lives. The world is looking at us. Now, they may hate us, and we know why they hate us, because they've rejected Christ. But they may receive Him one day. That very person in your life who is rejecting you and rejecting God, one day they may come to the saving grace of the Lord. Why? You've set an example. I'm going to go to church every Sunday because I want to be in the presence of the body and worship the Lord, and I want to feed upon the Word of God, whether I'm sick or not. I'm going to come to church. Some of you fanatics come twice a week. You come on Wednesday and Sunday. Right? And the world's like, well, why in the world do you go twice a week to read the same book? Because this is in their mind what they think. It's the same book. How many times you got to read it? It's new every day. It's the living Word of God. That every time you read it, the Holy Spirit shows you something about God and shows you something about you. And that's why it's the living Word. Jesus is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And so they're looking at your life. Hey, you know what? Maybe I'll come every week. And they'll start coming every week. And what happens? Well, they begin to mature in their walk with the Lord. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing the Word of God. And studying the Scriptures and knowing what the Lord has for us. So let's say we're going through the book of the third letter of John. And we are. You can turn there. Third letter of John. As we go through the book of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So there's been a feast for you. And it's presented each Sunday, this whole feast, in each of the books. Well, if you miss this week, you've missed a major part of that feast, right? A major part of the presentation of the Word of God. And so, but if you do come each week, there's someone who's saying, hey, you know what? That's a person that is an example for me to follow. They're here every week. They're smiling. They're happy. They're rejoicing. They may have issues in life because we all have issues in life. Don't think you have the only one. Oh, if you only knew. God knows. And He says that there's nothing new under the sun. Every challenge you have, someone else has had, or even worse. John had his kidney taken out Thursday. He was in ICU. They gave him 8 pints of blood after the surgery. So they believed that there might have been a leak and that they were going to go back in. And we've been praying for him, those in the prayer team and those that knew about it. I know some of you didn't know about it. But he came out of ICU last night.
Praise God.
So praise the Lord. Pastor Owen's wife was rushed to the emergency room yesterday. She has inoperable cancer. Now, we rejoice at Christmas time, but other people are in sorrow. In our hearts, we can be examples to everyone. To everyone. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice and be sorrow with those who sorrow. Carry one another's burdens. Can someone come to you about something in their life and not worried about you judging them? Not worried about you telling them what they should or shouldn't do? Or can you just be an ear and counsel them and have discernment of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit guides you? Hey, this is what this person needs for this time, right? Can you be that person? Because you are an example to someone. And here in the third letter of John, he gives us 3 examples of 3 different people. Gaius, a servant of the Lord, a man of faithfulness. It says that everybody saw this and they bore witness that this man walked with the Lord. His life wasn't full of the Holy Spirit this week, and then we don't see them for a long time. They come back, oh, praise the Lord, I'm healed. It was consistent, week in and week out, day in and day out. That's what he wants, faithfulness, right? Our walk to be steady and smooth with God. Not peaks and valleys because our emotions go up and down. No, but we're resting in the Spirit of the Lord. He says it's the peace of Christ that transcends all understanding that guides our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus as we come to Him with issues of life, prayer, and supplications, no matter what they are. When we come to Him, He pours that peace upon us. And so, what type of person are you? Well, we're going to speak of, and just to capture where we left off last week, Gaius is an encourager. He's someone who was a witness for the people around him. Because again, somebody's watching you. Your kids may be grown and out of your house. They're still watching how you respond to situations in your life. You have friends that might not be believers, but they're keeping your eye on you. Ah, he's going to fall one day. I had somebody I know that laughed when I told them I was a pastor. And ever since, like, they're watching. Oh, man, you know, one day this guy's going to go, you know, he's going to go off. Like, because they want that to happen, right? They want you to fall. They want you to fail. They don't want to see the consistency in your life. No, I'm surrendered to the Lord. And my life will then reflect that. I'm imperfect, but my desire is to be better. I want to be better than I was yesterday. I want to be better than I was 10 minutes ago. And I'm amazed by you, Lord, that you love me. And you got to be amazed that God loves you. And now we need to love others as Christ did love us. What is the first thing we do? Well, we're an example to people. People see us, right? So this example of Gaius was an encourager. And then we're going to see a guy named Diotrephes, who's an egotist. He's a man who wanted to be seen, wanted to be heard, wanted the top position. And it really doesn't even tell us whether he was a pastor or not. We're not sure who he was. But we see that he's someone we don't want to follow, right? You ever been around people like, eh, not so much. Right? And then the third person we'll see as an example, Demetrius. So Gaius was an encourager, Diotrephes is an egotist, and an example, Demetrius. So I'll just recap. We left off in verse 5. We'll pick it up in verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, who I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Proverbs 17:22 tells us, a merry heart does good like medicine. God's given us laughter. God's given us joy. And laughter and joy, listen, don't miss this. Laughter and joy is an outward expression of an inward condition. That I'm laughing and I am joyful because that's how my heart is. Or am I complaining? Am I in misery? Right? Don't go down that misery list. Go down that praise list. Thank you, Lord, for that answered prayer. Thank you for this happening and this happening. You know, Gladdy had surgery on her hip, and she was in rehab for a while, and now she's home, and she fell last night or the night before. But she's okay. She's okay. We've been praying for her and encouraging her. So we're being a good example to her in her life, that she knows that she can depend upon not only some of her family members, but you as well. When we say that the church is praying for you, that's you, those who are in the body, those who know what happened. So again, everybody doesn't know. It's not a news report, but things have happened. So we want to be an encourager to her, right? Hey, you're strong. You can do this. You're okay. I am, yes, you're good. Okay. Verse 3 and 4, for I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So Gaius has this reputation of being a solid Christian. You ever hear people say, oh yeah, he's a big Christian in the church. Really? I'm just a little one, right? But hopefully that means that they have a reputation of walking with the Lord in peace, with humility, and grace, and mercy. And that people could say of you, I'm amazed by you because you still talk to me. Think about that. There's been people who have been ostracized by their family members, by the world around them, and people in the church love on them. Now, we don't know the whole condition of people's lives, but that's okay. The Lord does. When they show up at church, we want to love on them. Hey, good to see you. We want to show compassion and grace and mercy. This man's reputation went before him. What do people think about you? And some of us don't want to know what people think about us, right? And some of us don't care. And if you say, I don't care, that could be a good thing and that could be a bad thing. It could be an arrogant thing. Like, it doesn't matter. I am who I am. You ever hear people say, well, you know, I'm Italian. This is why I'm loud, right? Or I'm from New York, or whatever you want to say. I'm from New York, and I'm half Italian, too. So all of those are excuses for behavior that we may have, right? So I am concerned of what people think to some extent. But here's the caveat to that. You can't please everyone. Because you can walk in a room, he's too fat, he's too skinny, he's too bald. I mean, there can be all kinds of things why people like you and don't like you. So when I say I don't care what people think because I'm okay with God, right? And my life reflects that, okay? But if I'm saying I'm all right with God and everybody has a problem with me, then there's an issue, right? There's something not right there. So then I want to know what's going on. This man was an example, and the truth of his walk and his testimony, people saw it, and people were talking about it. Now John says, I'm so happy. He says, there's no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so he speaks about walking in truth. Once again, our doctrine and our actions should be parallel. They should be the same. What we proclaim and what we do. And we will fall and fail, but get up. Get back on due north. Get back on track. What happens is we look at other people's lives. We say, well, I can't be as spiritual as that person, as holy as that person, or have the talent as that person. So then we give up because we have failed. But God doesn't ask us to compare ourselves to anyone. Now, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not saying that we're not examples to people. We are. But my relationship with the Lord comes first. And then it reflects outwardly. So as I walk with the Lord, and the Lord loves me, and I have that peace in my heart, then I'm able to love you, and I'm able to love you unconditionally. Wow. Try it. Guess what? It's up to you. You have the power to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. You have the ability to love unconditionally. It's your heart that's challenged. Do I agree with this person? No. But can I overlook that? Yes. Did they hurt me? Yes. Can I forgive them? Yes. Why? Because you have forgiven me, Lord. And how many times have you forgiven me, Lord? We can't even count, right? Can't even count. Who's got a list? Nobody. Ran out of ink, right? God just continuously pours his forgiveness and his mercy and his grace upon us. That's our Father. Now, if we're reflecting our Father, this is what we should be doing. And we can do it. Because God asks us to, and he's enabled us and given us the power to do it. Stop looking at yourself to do it and start looking to God. Stop saying, oh, I want to serve. I just don't know where God wants me to serve. I want to serve. Stop trying to serve. Start seeking the Lord. He'll provide service. It'll come. Seek the Lord. The more you seek the Lord, the closer you are walking with the Lord, the more you're going to reflect the Lord's character. Right? You ever be around people that just curse all the time? And yeah, I'm talking about in your workplace. You know, Bobby's in construction. I was in police work. You know, these are tough environments, right? And after a while, if you don't consciously reject that, you'll start talking like them. Why? Because that environment around you begins to mold and shape you. And he says to us in Scripture, no longer be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't have to talk that way. I don't have to operate this way. I may have done it in the past, but I'm not going to do it anymore. That doesn't glorify the Lord. My life doesn't reflect a child of God as I operate this way. So what's going to happen? I'm going to change. Who's my example? Oh, they're all over Scripture, and perhaps they're all around you too. Verses 5 through 6. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. So he's saying, whatever you're doing, you do it faithfully, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth in his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. And so he's saying, listen, he's praising Gaius here for his hospitality. And this may seem somewhat trivial to us, but it's not for God. God knows who you're supporting in the church. He knows what you're giving. He knows what you're praying for. He knows your desires to serve him, if you have them. I hope you do. I don't have to know if you're tithing. I don't have to know who you're supporting, who you're praying for. It's not about me. It's about you and the Lord. But if it's about you and the Lord, and it is, wow. He's more important than I am, right? And I want to be rightly reflected with the Lord. And it's not, listen, it's not a do's and don'ts. It's not burdensome. It's out of joy that I want to do as the Lord has shown me, and has he shown compassion on me, and how he has loved me. And so I want to do my best to do the same that he's done for me. And we may do great today, and tomorrow we may fail, but we continue to move forward. And we continue to grow as Christians with love and compassion. There's a lot of people that want to preach fire and brimstone and take up swords and take on. It's a spiritual battle. It's in the spiritual realm. It may manifest itself in the flesh. And there'll be fire and brimstone. Scripture tells us that. But here's what he does tell us as well. It is the love of God that compels us to repentance. Oh, I'm amazed by you. Think of this song, how much you've loved me. Why? Because we know how messed up we are. And so does he. And yet, you still love me. Wow. I didn't even know they were going to sing that today. But how appropriate, right? As us being examples to other people, look what God has done for us. We want to do that unto other people as well. So, if you're sending and supporting in the mission field, fantastic. God knows that. If you're praying for someone, fantastic. God knows that. If you're concerned for someone or helping someone out, fantastic. God knows that. See, everything you do is not in vain because the church doesn't see it, right? Or you're not getting praise. In some of the churches, they put your name. Somebody gave this to Mother. You see this to Mother. That must have been a donation. And in some churches, they put your family name on bricks because you gave to the church for recognition. for recognition. I don't know who these people are. It doesn't matter. It's just for illustration purposes. You don't have to be seen. God knows, and He's the most important one, and He's the one who's going to reward you in the heavenly places. Did I come and teach today because I wanted to be seen and heard, or did I have a calling from the Lord and my life was surrendered to Him, and so I'm doing as He's called me to do? He's the only one who knows that. Because we can fool people, right? People can think everything is great and then there's something wrong, right? Judas walked with the disciples and he walked with Jesus. Jesus washed Judas's feet and he still knew what he was going to do. And yet, what did he do? He loved on him. Wow. Now, it's one thing not to know, right? And then somebody do something and then you're mad at them or whatever the case may be. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. And yet Jesus washed his feet. And Jesus treated him like everyone else. Now, everybody else didn't know what was going on. Why? Because they don't know what's in somebody's heart, but Jesus knew. So Jesus has given us an example to love on people unconditionally. Why? Because God is the ultimate judge. So there's a verse in Scripture. There's some people that get disgruntled with pastors from other church, and they'll go around and spread rumors. Oh, this pastor did this. And I've had several people come to me throughout the years, and just recently, hey, this pastor did this. When did it happen? Oh, I'm not sure. Well, Scripture says that we're not to entertain an accusation against a pastor or a shepherd unless there are two witnesses or more. So if there's not two witnesses, did he get away with it? No, he didn't get away with it. Why? God knows everything, right? If there's not two witnesses for it to be challenged by the church and the board, he didn't get away with anything. God's going to handle that, right? God will make it revealed. Why? He says so. So what am I saying? We need to trust in the Lord. God is sovereign. He'll handle the situations in our life. We need to be loving people. And it starts in our hearts first, and then in our house, and then in the church. And then we have a reputation, like Gaius here, that everybody has seen how we've supported ministries, how we've loved other people. You know, this Methodist church is doing an amazing thing by allowing us to come in here and utilize their facilities. I don't know of another Protestant church that would let another church come in. And for 10 years now, or about 9 years in this particular building, we've left and come back. They've opened up their arms to us. And that is a witness for the love of Christ. Wouldn't you agree? They don't have barriers. You're not a Methodist. You're not coming in. No, they've said, come in, utilize it. And they've been wonderful to us. They've installed these TVs here for us. When we first came here, we had a big old banner we put, or what do they call them, a screen. We'd pull it down and take it up, and I don't want to even think about it back then, but it was hard. Matthew 28 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we can have a part by going in the mission field, or we can have a part by staying and supporting those people. This is what the church did. This is what Gaius is being praised for, his walking with the Lord and loving the brethren. The brethren, the people in God's house, the children of the Lord. And Jesus said, he who receives me and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So this should make us consider how we receive and help those who preach the gospel. God is sending people, and he's asking for the brethren to support them. Now, God hasn't sent us, because we're here now, to go across seas to hostile territory. But there are Christians who God has called to do that. And I don't know if you know this, but if you go to some countries, a lot of countries won't let you work because you're not a citizen. And that's supposed to happen here as well, but it doesn't. So if you go to another country in a mission field, you can't get a job to support yourself. So they need the support of the church. Well, this is what they did. They supported those. Well, why are we talking about that? Well, we'll get to this other guy who wasn't a good example. Because we have some people to look at. Hey, who am I going to follow? And what am I going to look like as an example as well? Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So when a missionary comes in, we rejoice and we want to support and we let them come up and give their testimony of what they're doing, and some people may support them. So this is the first of the three men that gives us examples, this Gaius. Listen, if you're taking notes, he had good reputation. A good reputation. You ever hear the name of somebody like Judas? Everybody goes like, how many name their kid Judas, right? You wouldn't name your kid Judas, right? He's just Judas the third, right? No, that's not going to happen, right? Judas, why? Judas didn't have a good reputation. Want to have a good reputation. That's not meaning a man pleaser at all. It's mean being faithful and consistent. You know, I used to sit on the some of the boards at the Broward Sheriff's Office when we would hire people. And we'd interview, you know, 10 people a day for a time to get employment. And some of the people would come in, and we had this one guy who was on a nuclear submarine. He had a doctorate degree, and he's coming in to be a policeman because he couldn't get a job in his field. I don't know where he'd get a job in nuclear field. Anyway. But other guys would come in, and they would have, you know, they're working. Let's say they were in their early 20s, so they were working for 10 years or so. They'd have 15 jobs within 10 years. Let me tell you something. That doesn't look good when you're looking for a career job. Why? Because you're not consistent. I've lived in the same house for 25 years, been married to my wife for a long time, and and worked for the sheriff's office for 29 years. It's consistency, right? Same church for 10 years. That was a joke. I know. I have to look at my ring for the day. He had a good reputation. He walked in truth. He had great joy. He was hospitable. He was an encourager to those in the mission field. And this is what we're supposed to do. So now we are introduced to another example of character. Character, a condition of the heart that expresses itself outwardly, right? Verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephus, who loves to have the preeminence among them, so he wants to be seen and heard, he wants to be an overseer, does not receive us. Now, Diotrephus, an interesting character, we look how his sin has been exposed throughout the years, a man who loved the preeminence, because this is his reputation, right? He loved the preeminence in the church. He didn't want to give and be humble. He wanted to be seen and heard by everyone. Now, there are a lot of people like this in the church today, those who are trying to make positions for themselves and coming in and trying to take over things. We don't let them last very long. We send them on their way. So John said in verses 10 and 11, therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds. Here, John's going to take care of this guy, Diotrephus. He says, I'm going to call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. This shouldn't be what's happening in the church, right? This is not a good character to follow in the church. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is good, but he who does evil has not seen God. Now, is he saying because we sin and fall over an issue and ask for repentance that we are evil? No, he's talking about a lifestyle. This is characterized by this person. How could he be good if he's continuously doing evil, right? So let's look at this guy. He's a self-promoter. He strives to be first in the church, preeminent. What does the scripture tell us to do? To treat others better than ourselves. To not look at ourselves as too high of ourselves, right? But to be lowly, to be humble, to consider others' needs before our own needs. He was a self-promoter. He was insubordinate. He refused to submit to the authority that John is now going to point out his problems that he had here. He was slanderous. He spoke nonsense and slandered about these good men that were serving the Lord. And he was vindictive. So, verse 12, Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. So John gave us these two clear examples, one good, Gaius, and one bad, Diotrephus. And now he applies the point by giving us an example. For we serve a good God, and those who follow him will likewise do good as well. Remember I said your doctrine and actions should be the same? This is what we're talking about. So if Diotrephus is claiming to be a Christian, and yet he did all these things, spoke malicious words, had contempt for the brethren, and forbid them to come into the church, do you think his doctrine and his actions are the same? Would he say that he's a honest person? Of course not. What do people say about you? You think about that. I don't, you know, what is our reputation of those who know we're Christians? A farmer went into a banker and he announced that he had bad news and good news. First, the bad news. Well, said the farmer, I can't make my mortgage payments. And that the crops loans I haven't taken out for 10 years, I can't pay that either. Not only that, I wouldn't be able to pay you the couple of hundred thousands I still have outstanding on my tractors and the other equipment. So I'm going to have to give up the farm and turn it all over to you, and whatever you salvage out of it, you can sell. Silence prevailed for a minute, and then the banker said, what's the good news? The good news is that I'm going to keep on banking with you, said the farmer. So we see that John did not excommunicate Diotrephus. He didn't kick him out of the church because there were some issues. Now, that's not to say that there won't come a time where a person does not change and they become a problem in the church. The Bible says that rebuke a divisive person after the first or second rebuke of a divisive person, kick them out. Because they become a cancer within the church. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. You can't dabble in a little sin, because then it'll begin to overtake you. He doesn't kick him out. This banker, this guy, this farmer is still going to bank with the bank, right? They're still going to love on him. He couldn't fulfill something. So we got to be careful. We got to be very careful. Instead, he simply exposes him, and he trusts that the discerning Christians would avoid Diotrephus as they should. So when someone is kicked out of the church, and it's happened here a few times, when someone is you're not kicked out of the kingdom of God. If you're a born-again believer, you're still going to heaven. But if there's a problem within the church and you're removed from the church, it should cause you to reflect and repent, right? And then come back and say, I was wrong. Let's restore this relationship. That's what was supposed to happen. When a sinner sinned in the camp, and they use the illustration of leprosy, when they had leprosy in the camp, they removed them from the camp so it wouldn't spread. It's a picture of sin. So the Bible talks about, I'm running out of time again, the Bible talks about sin in the church. It speaks about sexual immorality, covetousness, and all these things. As Christians, we're not to associate with anyone who says they're a Christian and yet living an immoral life. Well, does that mean we can't hang out with people in the world that do that? Right, it doesn't mean that at all. Because we're supposed to be light and salt and witness to the people who are in the world. But those who claim to be Christians, it says that we're not even to eat with them. And the point is so that they would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and repent, right? So, back to our study here. Demetrius, on the other hand, was faithful to the truth, and his walking in the truth was a witness on his behalf. John encourages Gaius to imitate what is good, for that what is good is of God. So listen, one of the things that we see about this man, Demetrius, and Gaius, is a pattern of faithful service to the Lord. A pattern. And many of you in here have been so faithful to the Lord, serving year in, year out, not only in our church, in other places as well. They had a pattern. And when you have a pattern, that shows consistency. There's people in this world and in this church that have never had any structure in their life. They don't know what consistency looks like, but now they do. Why? Because you're showing it to them, a pattern. We go to work, we support our family, we serve the Lord, we come to church. This is what we do. We're Christians. We love on people. This is what we do. And there's a consistent pattern in our life that people then can say, hey, I'm going to follow this guy. He has a reputation. I'm going to follow this guy. Why? Because he's loving on people. He's loving on the brother. And this is what Demetrius shows us as an example. So John now explains why such a short letter as we begin to close. I had many things to write to you, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and I will speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So let me stop here. In the book of John 21:25, he says, and there are many things that Jesus wrote that were not written here. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which there were written one by one. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. He says this. He says, Jesus did so many miracles and so many things that we couldn't write enough books to contain all that. And here John's saying, I don't want to write to you in ink. I want to come to you face to face. I want to talk to you. But listen, thank God that this was written to us, so that now we can have someone to turn back to and an example to follow in Christians. Christians are not always what they seem to be. We may have to serve in the face of opposition from a brethren. What do? This is the challenges that we may have. We be consistent in love and grace and compassion and mercy. Will we allow this to affect our services? I hope not. Will we allow this to affect our salvation? Certainly not, right? Because we're going to have opposition everywhere. Why? Because we're people. And we're messed up. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and saving us and redeeming us. For without Him, where would we be? Without the grace of God, right? Where would we be if God didn't have grace upon us? You know, I look back at my life, I'm like, what did I do without God? I really don't know. I cannot answer that. Who did I turn to? Obviously myself, and that didn't work out very well, right? What do we do without the grace of God? Without Him, we would be hopeless. Christians often imitate other Christians. John says to imitate what is good for two reasons. Those who do good are of God, and those who do evil are not of God. What example are we setting in this church, in our community, in our houses? Now, there are some people that get saved in a later age, and their kids are already out of their houses. You're still an example. Show that pattern of consistency, love, grace, mercy, compassion. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. We've said enough, Lord. Your word now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will penetrate into our hearts, Lord, as we ingest the word, the feast. And you've given us examples to follow. Now you left it up to us. What will we look like? What will our reputations be? How will we represent the King as the King's children? Help us, Lord, to accomplish this. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.